We have two scripture readings for this morning. The first is not listed in the bulletin, but comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Our second reading for today furthers us along on our cruise through the Beatitudes, coming from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." May God bless this reading of the scripture. Let us pray. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to this congregation, which has welcomed me with such open arms. Please guide me this morning and help me to speak the words that you want spoken, to say the things that you want said. Allow the congregation to hear the message you want them to hear. Amen. You're not you when you're hungry. Many of you have probably heard this before. It's an advertising slogan for Snickers, the candy bar. They first introduced it in the 2010 Super Bowl in a commercial featuring Betty White. Surely some of you remember this, right? You have a field of guys playing football, and in the midst of them is former Golden Girls star Betty White. So the ball is thrown to her, she catches it, and then bam, is immediately tackled into the mud. So the team huddles up to discuss their strategy, and one of the fellow players scolds her, saying, "Dude, you're playing like Betty White out there." So she goes over to the sidelines and is offered a Snickers bar. After taking a bite of it, she suddenly turns into a 30-something-year-old man who, once returning to the field, obviously fares much better than the previous Betty White did. So there are several of these commercials, all featuring different celebrities and different situations. But the message is pretty clear. When you're hungry, it's hard for you to be yourself. Thirst is like this too. Whenever your stomach is empty or your throat is dry, it becomes really difficult to focus on anything else around you. These bodily needs seem to overwhelm all of our other senses, pushing themselves to the forefront of our minds, dominating our thoughts, and insisting upon being taken care of right now. Have you ever gotten thirsty late at night, right as you're about to go to sleep? It's late, you're exhausted from a long day, you climb into bed and pull the covers up all around you, because you're in Michigan and you really do need covers even at the end of July. You twist and you turn until you've found the perfect position to lie in. And just as you're about to drift off to sleep, a whisper of a thought enters your head. Water. You need water. You try to shh it away, pretend like you didn't hear it, that you aren't thirsty, just tired, and it's time to go to sleep. But I know for me, that only tends to make it worse. What started as a simple tickle in the back of my throat soon becomes a persistent dryness, one that can't be alleviated by me swallowing my own saliva, though I try. So finally, I resign myself to it. I give in and get up, quenching my thirst with a glass of water. So we all know what hunger and thirst are. Now, not many of us here have probably experienced prolonged hunger or thirst, but we all know what it's like to want something that's out of our reach, to crave something with all of our being. It doesn't have to just be food or water. Maybe it's a promotion at work that you've been striving at for months now, or a competition of some sort. Maybe you even felt it when you courted your spouse or significant other, or perhaps when you first decided to try and have a child. It's this deep longing that comes from inside of us, a tangible hole that demands to be filled. But how do we equate this feeling, which we all know so well, to the abstract concept of righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But what does that mean? What is righteousness, really? How does one go about hungering for it? And why in the world would someone be considered blessed for doing so? Well, in the context of Matthew's gospel, the word righteousness seems to apply more specifically to God's righteousness. It's a bringing about of justice, a righting of wrongs, a time when suffering and pain will cease to exist and there will be peace given to all. And when put this way, who wouldn't hunger and thirst for it? Don't we all long for grief and sadness to be no more? For the good to be rewarded and the bad punished? For everyone to be dealt a fair hand in life and have the opportunity to live out a fulfilling and happy existence? I think we all do, in theory, but perhaps not to the extent that Jesus was talking about when he used the words hunger and thirst. You know, my time spent here in Birmingham, I mean, it's been very brief. It feels like I've been here a lot longer than I have. But it's been fascinating in any number of ways, and I feel like I've been able to learn so much. But one of the unique things about Birmingham specifically is how close it is to pockets of such extreme poverty, and yet how far removed it is at the same time. Detroit's only a 20-minute drive away, and yet it's sometimes feels like it's on a whole other planet. It's shocking how fast the change occurs when driving down Woodward. You know, you pass 8 Mile Road and suddenly the buildings become sparse, graffiti is everywhere, boards cover up broken windows, weeds are knee-high on the sides of the street, and burned-out shells of houses dot the landscape. Yet it's so easy to forget that all that is there, to simply avoid certain parts of town, to pretend that those areas aren't a part of our world. We become indifferent to them, indifferent to the people who live there. And this is why Jesus calls us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You can't close your eyes to something when you're hungry, can't turn your head away when you're thirsty. Because when you long for something so badly that it transforms into a physical ache inside of you, you can't help but act. Rather than feel indifference at the plight of others or become complacent with the way things are, you become passionate, hungry for change. Have you ever noticed how when you feel hungry, food starts to jump out at you? You notice for the first time how the smell of McDonald's French fries carries all the way across the parking lot at work. Or the sound of a family member crunching on a pickle, something that would normally annoy or disgust you, makes your mouth start to water. Or perhaps even that commercial for fried chicken that you've seen 500 times already finally starts to look a little tempting. This is why they say not to go grocery shopping on an empty stomach. Things that you would never normally consider purchasing suddenly become irresistible, as if you can't live without them. It's the same when one is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. When we desire it badly enough, we begin to have our eyes open to the injustice and inequality that have been around us all along. We become aware of the suffering and pain experienced by our neighbors and our friends. Indifference often stems from numbness. We see something so often that it no longer affects us. We become apathetic, believing that things will never change, and therefore we just shouldn't worry about them anymore. But Jesus wants us to become passionate, not complacent. He wants our yearning for righteousness to gnaw at us. Have you ever given a dog a rawhide bone? You know, you give them that and they will lay there and gnaw and gnaw and gnaw on it for hours at a time. And I know it's a bit of an odd comparison, but I feel like that is what Jesus wants us to feel. He wants our hunger and thirst for righteousness to gnaw deep inside of us, never relenting. But even when we understand what Jesus was trying to get across here, it's still unclear why he used the word blessed. Something gnawing away inside of me, pushing me onward to action, doesn't exactly sound like such a great blessing to me. At least not in the sense of how we use the word today. Now, Lori Haller delivered the first sermon in this series, and in that sermon, she spoke about how the word blessed is often translated as happy in our modern English Bibles, but that this was not the intended meaning of the word historically at all. Rather, she defined it as finding the right way on God's path, or having a relationship with God. I like to think of a blessing as having two parts. It is part gift and part task. Think back to Abraham. The scripture I read this morning from Genesis talked about how God blessed him, promising to make him into a great nation. But at the same time, God placed a responsibility upon him to be a blessing to all the other peoples of the earth. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing, part gift, part task. This can be seen with the Israelites as well. They were God's chosen people, blessed by God and freed from slavery in Egypt to go forth and find the promised land. But the Israelites had a duty as God's chosen people as well. They were not just chosen to live lives of merriness and ease, but rather God selected them to spread his message all across the earth. Thus, their blessing was both a gift and a task. It is a gift to have compassion and empathy, a gift to be able to look out into the world and accurately see the injustice that abounds within it, to look into people's eyes and feel their pain as if it was your own. But there is a task that comes with this gift, the task to take action, to not sit idly by and ignore what other people are experiencing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not happy, not content, but blessed. Longing for something as difficult to obtain as righteousness will never be a simple or an easy task. Rather, those who hunger for it are blessed. And just like Abraham, just like the Israelites, we are blessed to be a blessing. There's a responsibility that comes attached. We are to long for God's righteousness in the world deeply and instinctually, as a need found inside of us, an emptiness that we can feel, that we can't forget or just be distracted from, a desire that takes us over, that dominates all of our daily activities. We must allow it to penetrate our thoughts, invade our being, to never rest while there is still more to be done. Of course, we can't forget what is arguably the most important part of this beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Ultimately, God's righteousness will come. Our longing to see wrongs put right and suffering ended will be fulfilled. There is an end to the injustice. Jesus guarantees us of that. But until that day comes, it is our responsibility as Christians to strive towards it in the present, never giving up hope, never getting discouraged and deciding that it isn't worth the effort. Instead, we must let our thirst for righteousness stir us from sleep. We must let it keep us from burrowing back down into our safe and warm beds of financial security and economic stability. It isn't going to be pleasant. There are going to be nights where we are just too tired, too exhausted to respond to the nagging sensation that all is not right in the world. But we must try and remember that God does not call us to a life of ease. Rather, we are blessed to be a blessing, called to use the gifts given to us by God to further his kingdom here on earth. The next time you feel that tickle in the back of your throat or that emptiness in your stomach, don't ignore it. Choose instead to listen to it, to acknowledge the discomfort that it causes inside of you. When we do this, we are left with no other option but to act, to leave our comfort zones and actively seek to bring about God's righteousness on earth today. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. God, it can be so hard sometimes to keep our eyes open to the pain and the suffering that go on all around us. We get distracted, too caught up in what is going on in our own lives to reach out and help those in need. Help us to hunger, God. Instill in us a thirst that cannot be quenched. Fill us with a longing for your righteousness and the knowledge that one day it will come. Thank you, God. Amen.